What if kittens play the glockenspiel? And what if unicorns were real? What if you could fly or travel back in time? We welcome you to What If World. What if world? This is What If World.
Hi there, folks, and welcome back to Guilds and Goblins, the What If World show, where your questions and ideas combine with our live-in-the-moment dice rolling to bring you off-the-cuff adventures. I'm Papa Lou, your guild master and host, joined by my stalwart players, starting with my son.
Zach Jamaloo, but you can call my character Scribno the Doodle Knight. Yes, I am made of scribbles, and I can change those scribbles to give myself amazing powers. Then, of course, there is...
Scully the Squid!
Yes, in real life I'm a squid, but my character is a Pastapus, and their name is Penny Pasta. They have the magical powers of Italian cooking! Plus, their body's made of... pasta and can stretch and stuff.
And don't forget about me, Lola Rabbit, or my character, whose name is Amara Stormtide. And yeah, she kinda zhuzhes or eshes, which makes her a little hard to understand. But once you get used to it, you'll realize that she's quite the detective, along with being an ocean dragon with storm magic powers.
Okay, you don't have to zhuzh everything so much, but I think we got it. Amara Stormtide, Penny Pasta, and Scribno the Doodle Knight. Care to recap our last adventure?
Quite simply, What If World has gone bananas.
Well, not literally this time. You see, all the monsters from Spookensburg, that's where our characters come from, they somehow got onto What If World.
If by somehow you mean Abacus P. Grumbler made a magical mistake again.
That's right. The portal in the elevator of the Haunted Hotel of Spookensburg somehow started opening into What If World, letting all the monsters out.
What's worse, they were starting to pinch away pieces of What If World,
making them into more monsters.
But we figured out that all they need is What If. So if we can teach them to breathe in all the imagination around them,
then in theory they won't slowly pull our world apart. Actually, Papalu, is that really happening in What If World right now? I'm confused.
You know, the observatorium has been closed recently. Maybe we should fly over in our rocket ship house and see what's happening?
I'd rather sit here at our gaming table and have our characters face the real danger.
Good point.
And by real danger, we of course mean the million hand-headed Hydra,
which seems to be pinching away the observatorium bit by bit.
Now, we also have a question from a patron named Charlin, but we'll play it at the end so we don't spoil the surprise. We can at least tell you that Charlin's favorite What If World characters are Fred, JF Cat, Spitz, Mr. Mouser, Feralise, Pixicato, and Sprite All Right.
So yeah, we'll just have to meet all of those characters in this story.
Ho ho.
While simultaneously saving the world.
Oh.
I hope you planned a lot for this adventure, Papa Lou.
Well, actually, I came up with some questions that'll help you tell me your adventuring style.
Shouldn't we just get to the adventure?
Well, part of these Guilds and Goblins episodes is everyone learning how to play their own adventures.
Well, all you need is any kind of dice you have lying around the house.
Although we like to use a D20 because it's just so satisfying to roll a natural 20.
And equally satisfying to roll a natural 1 and fall flat on your face.
Right, and you could mix in other little dice if you want to add some math, or just keep it simple.
Quite simply, if you roll high, things tend to go your way.
And when you roll low, that's when all the mix-ups and curveballs come your way.
Oh, slow down, I've got a headache.
Don't worry, Papaloo.
Yeah, we appreciate you planning an adventure.
And this week, we'll be ready with ideas if you're feeling stuck.
Well then, let's hop into What If World and our Guilds and Goblins adventure as we face the million hand-headed Hydra and probably meet a few of Charlene's favorite characters along the way. Okay, cryptid kids, we're back in front of the observatorium. You got all the monsters to follow you out, but now you've got a much bigger problem. The million hand-headed Hydra seems to be pinching away the observatorium little by little.
Oh, what will become of my school?
Says Abacus P. Grumbler, who yet again is responsible for a what-if-world catastrophe.
Oh, hardly. This is my smallest catastrophe yet, I'd say.
And with that, you all notice that the Hydra is also pinching away the ground itself. And even though the hands aren't actually mouths, whenever they squeeze close tight around a piece of what-if-world, when the hand opens again, only a glittering light remains, which quickly blows away on the breeze.
Ha, so after it pinches away the observatorium,
it will pinch away the rest of this what-if world of yours, it seems.
Scribno, if you're correct, you're gonna need a way to stop this creature.
But first, we gotta talk to all these other monsters.
That's right, Penny Pasta. Hey, monsters, listen up. You see what that million hand-headed Hydra's doing right there? I'll take that as a yes. Well, here's the thing. What they're leaving pinched away, that twinkly starlight stuff, that's all the what if you need. This whole world is made up of the imagination of thousands of kids and families. You can breathe it right out of the air and use it for whatever, monster stuff it is you're using it for.
Making other monsters, obviously.
Yes, thank you, dear ghost. Just make sure if you're making another monster that you take care of it and love it and teach it how to be a kind monster, just like you.
Well, these monsters were already very interested in you, and very scared of the million hand-headed Hydra, so you could do a team roll. Everyone roll wonder.
Dash it too.
Penny Pasta got an 8.
An 11.
That's enough. Just barely. The monsters slowly start disbanding, but none of them are tearing the world apart anymore. Congratulations.
I think you mean thank you, Papa Lou, for saving your own world.
Oh, don't get ahead of yourselves, because you didn't roll high enough for any of these monsters to offer their help.
Well, at least they're not actively destroying the world anymore.
That's something.
Baby steps.
Papa Lou, how long before the Hydra pinches away the observatorium?
That's a great question, Rollern.
I'll help with my detective skills.
Okay, Zach, then you could roll 2d20.
Plus my d4 for lane?
Sure, it's kind of like a team roll.
Well, that first roll was a natural one, but the second was a 16 plus 1.
With a 17 learn, you notice that there's some kind of pattern to the pinching. You're not sure why, but the Hydra seems to be considering each pinch carefully. And thus, even with a million hand heads, you assume you've got a couple of hours before it starts pinching away the rest of the world.
I say we use that time to lead the monsters back to Spookensburg, have this wizard end his spell, and collect a bunch of treasures from Bronana, which will give us, all kinds of money to solve this mystery with.
Amara, this is a kind of an emergency. And the what you are suggesting is kind of like using emergency to make a profit for yourself.
Unethical!
Oh, here he is again with the ethics.
Fine, let's shave this world we don't know nothing about and not make any money in the process. Yes, because there might be important people living here. People that enjoy playing games like Guilds and Goblins without getting pinched to pieces. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Just then, a tall sprite with rainbow wings appears in front of you.
Alright, I sensed a great disturbance in the magic of What If World. So can someone tell me what's going on? I can tell you, Madam Sprite. No, it's Sprite alright, that's my name.
Well, you got a teleporting of powers, so maybe you can take us somewhere where we want to get pinched out of existence by a giant a million hand headed thing.
Alright, I see your point.
You find yourselves standing on top of a cloud, somehow without falling through it. Dish pretty normal for me. Okay, but for the rest of you, it's pretty cool, but amazing.
These clouds have morphic qualities. I would like to see if my magic pencil can help shape them. Maybe I could make a cloud cage.
Well, you could roll dare to try to tame these wild clouds, while Sprite O'Right watches you quizzically.
That's a 19 plus a 3.
The clouds around you seem to quickly swirl in form as you build them up, 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 and out into the widest, tallest, depthiest cloud gauge anyone's ever seen.
Alright, this is awfully fascinating to see, but I brought you here because my partner, Feralise, is used to dealing with magical catastrophes, especially those made by Abacus P. Grumbler.
Did someone say Abacus?
Not now, Abacus.
But with her superior teleporting magic, she causes the wizard to disappear.
Hey, you shouldn't interrupt me mid-spell.
You shouldn't interrupt me mid-spell.
Mother,
says a tiny pixie, no bigger than your thumb.
There appears to be some kind of detective dragon, chef made out of spaghetti, and a stick figure person reshaping our cloud.
And with that, you spy a little thimble on the cloud lift, and out of it grows a fairy. Bigger than the pixie, but smaller than the sprite, wearing a fedora and a cool trench coat.
You seem new to What If World, so allow me to introduce myself. I am Feralise, my daughter Pixicato, and she is my partner, Sprite Alright. Now, how may I help you?
Full disclosure, you've met us before. See, I'm just a character imagined by Lola Rabbit. The pasta push is Scully the Squid, and that, of course, is Zack.
Oh, dear.
Not alright.
Mummy, Mother, I'm extremely confused.
Wait, were we not supposed to tell them that?
Oh, I don't know.
And how is it that you can do impressions of all the other What If World characters?
Hey, it's Guilds and Goblins. Plus What If World, anything's possible. Even me suddenly getting good at impressions.
I'm just wondering if they can hear what we're saying right now in this room on our rocket ship house when we're not speaking in character.
Hello? You're just standing there silently.
When apparently there's some kind of trans-dimensional emergency happening. Please excuse us. I, Scribno the Doodle Knight, may be imaginary, but my powers are real in this world, as real as yours. And I have constructed this cage in hopes that it will hold the 1 million-headed Hydra currently pinching apart the observatorium.
And you know, just a little bit of the world around it.
I told those children that nothing good could come of playing Guilds and Goblins, without me anyway.
Aw, you're welcome to play any time, Pixicato. It's just we're sort of in the middle of this adventure, you know?
I've heard enough. Sprite Alright, I'll get Pixicato to safety. Could you help teleport these adventurer children where they need to be?
Alright, alright.
And keep yourself safe too, please.
I always do.
Sprite Alright. Teleport all of you and your giant cloud cage back to the observatorium.
I use my pencil like a magic wand to sort of guide slash lasso the cage of clouds over the Hydra.
Rolled there, but since you've succeeded on the last roll, I'll make it an easy one for you.
Ooh, 10 plus 2.
With a 12, the cloud cage does eventually fit over the Hydra, but it continues to writhe and twirl and wrap itself around the cage. An even start pinching away the wisps of smoke.
Oh yeah, that a cave was made of imaginary cloud stuff.
Right.
But it has bought you some time. But Amara, you know about weather. Roll learn. My speciality. Ish. 8+1.
Well, the sky is beginning to darken, so you're not able to make anything out right now. But there's something bugging you about those clouds. Maybe if you got closer to the Hydra.
Nah, thanks, I think I'm good.
You wisely resist your own curiosity, which is why you're not too close to the lightning bolts that the Hydra starts flinging at you all. Everyone roll dare.
Even me?
It's an easy roll for you, since you do have lightning powers.
9. Ooh, wait. +4.
You only take one hurt, as you narrowly dodge out of the way of a lightning bolt.
Mary's turn. Ooh, that's just a 10.
Between your dodging and your resistance, one of these big lightning bolts comes near you, but it just feels like a gentle, tingly massage, and you are unscathed.
That was close.
Oh, pasta doesn't like getting overcooked. Phew, that's a 12.
Well, you then,
Oh, can I open my pasta pussy body wide to let the lightning pass right through me?
Great idea, yes, of course. Some of your middle pasta still gets a bit singed, though, and you take one hurt rather than two.
Whew, that's a good, because I already had a one hurt.
Oh, yeah.
Did you almost cook penny pasta?
No, the Hydra did.
All right, nice try, everyone, but I think it's time for me to get you out of here.
But we are so close.
Not really. It'll turn your clouds into lightning.
I just don't know what's going to happen if we cannot stop this thing.
Did someone say, stop this thing, please, Mr. Ababot?
Says a 100-foot-tall robot monster with a big unnecessary beard and mustache and glasses.
No, we didn't say that.
Ababot is still getting used to being a robot. And yes, this is Sprite All Right's fault.
All right, I think you're forgetting. How about Charlene's question? What if in the next Guilds and Goblins episode, Abacus turned into a giant robot?
But also you interrupted my magic spell.
Okay, I'm sorry. Now are you gonna help with this?
But Ababot was already wrestling the million-hand-headed Hydra. Or at least any of the hands that managed to wiggle out of the cloud cage.
Oh, that tickles. Who built me with a tickle button?
And as the million-hand-headed Hydra wrestles and tickles and pinches the giant Ababot, pieces of it start drifting away too.
None of our ideas seem to help.
It's like all this thing wants is ideas.
Sprite All Right, is there anyone on this world who is good at not having ideas?
Oh, maybe someone who's originally from what is a world.
Which would make them more real and harder to pinch away.
Maybe somebody who likes to be pet rather than pinched. Because it appears only the pinching part is dangerous, you know?
Yeah, someone furry.
Or maybe a whole force of furry people.
Who are extra good at being lazy.
All right, I get it. You want me to call the fur force.
Because if nothing will defeat this creature,
then perhaps nothing is just what you need.
And that's our specialty.
Says JF Cat and Fred the Dog, suddenly appearing beside...
Mr. Moser, at your service, with a newly refined voice.
Oh, good, because it would be hard to tell ours apart with Sprite All Right already here.
All right, my voice does not sound like a 10-year-old boy's.
Or that of an elderly mouse.
Or that of an elderly mouse. Okay, let's just end the story.
And that is where we'll pause our adventure.
Whoa!
Okay, my mind's a little blown by all that.
You fit in all the characters.
Well, except Spitz. I don't remember Spitz, honestly.
Me neither.
Yeah, well, why don't we play Charlene's question, and maybe someone out there can remind us who Spitz is.
Good idea, Mr. Eric.
Hi, Mr. Eric. My name is Charlene. My favorite characters are Fred the Dog, JF Cat, Spitz, Mr. Mouser, Feralise, Pixie Cotto, Sprite Right, and my one question is, What if in the next Guilds and Goblins episode, Abacus P. Grumbler turned into a giant robot? Thank you, bye, I love your show.
Charlene, thank you for your question, and thanks for our questions from Zara, Gigi and Jack, as well as King Hand last week. So we've got an interview with the Learninator next week, giving you extra time to send in your what-if questions. The Cryptid Kids have tried to capture the Hand Hydra, and Charlene's giant Ababot tried to wrestle it. But so far, they've only managed to slow it down. Can you share a what-if question that'll help? Is there a reason the Hydra's only pinching away certain bits of What If World? What do you think? And remember, there are no wrong answers. And even if we don't use your idea, maybe you'll encounter the million hand-headed Hydra and use your ideas when you play Guilds and Goblins with your friends and family. Guildmasters and grown-ups, we've learned that simple would-you-rather questions help everyone learn their playstyle and give you the chance to ask for ideas. If a player likes spooky creatures, ask them to whisper a couple of ideas to you. If they want new powers, have them write a special powers wish list. We'll include our four favorite prompts in the show notes. I'd like to thank Karen O'Keefe, my co-creator, my producer, Miss Lynn, Craig Martinson for our theme song, and all you kids at home who know that failure is part of every exciting challenge. So keep trying, keep adventuring, and until we meet again, keep wondering.
ICANN is sponsored by the Portland Youth Philharmonic, where their string ensemble presents a family-friendly cushion concert for children 2 to 8 years old. This 45-minute performance includes instrument demonstrations, a Q&A, and PYP's instrument petting zoo. Seating is on the floor, so you can bring your own cushions for a cozier experience. There's two performances. The first is at 12:30 p.m. and again at 2:30 p.m. on Saturday, March 15th at the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry. Tickets and information at portlandyouthphil.org.